The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by Squarespace, the easiest solution to web design around. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial and use the offer code IGN for 10% off your order.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 396 of Podcast Beyond. This is a podcast that we make using different computers and some microphones, and it's all about the Sony PlayStation family of different game fun computers.
It's all about it. That's it.
I'm Max Scoville, and joining me today is Marty Sliva.
I've returned from Santa Monica.
From the Week of Judgment.
St. Monica.
Yes. And, of course, Andrew Goldfarb.
I'm back again.
You are back.
I haven't seen you yet. Well, I've seen you, but we've
literally. I think we have literally drank every day since you've been back.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah. Brian Altano's still, he's smooching in Barcelona.
Yeah.
I'm in his apartment, so it's great.
How is that? We talked about this a little bit. You made a mess? Have you broken any of his stuff?
Yeah. I have some time to clean up. I haven't broken any of his stuff.
You spilled the thyme? He's very fussy about his herbs.
Dude, they have a lot of herbs.
I know.
There's a lot of pasta in there, too.
Which is so great.
We talked about this.
We wanted to do a video. Like Max said, we should just do an unboxing of Brian's entire apartment.
Just loot his whole house and just throw all his crap on the ground and be like, look at all this different spaghetti. What an Italian stereotype.
I love the idea that he has a trapper keeper. You open it up and it's just brap, brap and all these different pots.
I think I took a picture of it on his fridge. There's this like daily planner and it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He just says shot, 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 shot. And like, I love that he took the time to write that and to make that joke because his poor wife,
she's
a saint.
Oh boy. Anyway, it's been weird not having, it was rough not having you around or Brian around because I used to talk to you guys and we'd go get coffee and stuff. Yeah, we had to move desks. It was a very weird week. But now we got Goldfarb around to hang out stuff.
It's good.
Yeah. Your dog was here. That was the best.
Yeah. It's got a cool
your dog.
Dog
in the podcast once. Next time I'm gone, bring your dog to work
because you're allergic to
Ryan
the dog.
Brought his dog onto Unlocked once, and I didn't realize until like 15 minutes in that the dog was under the desk, and I like started like wheezing and sneezing, and I'm like, why is this happening? And I look, I'm like, there's a dog in this room!
That's like, for your allergies, that's like if you just pulled out a gun and put it on the table.
Seriously. Do all of your allergies rhyme? Wheezing and sneezing?
Wheezing and sneezing. Pleasing and freezing. Yeah. This is the story of
pleasing and freezing. My life in Wisconsin.
All right. So yeah, this is a show we do about video games. Mm-hmm. We got some stuff to talk about. We've got The Witcher. I've been playing. I played that all weekend. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. It's a fun game. I want to talk about that. Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. Sort of some non-news there. Mad Max, the movie, is a thing that everyone got really excited about. Mad Max, the video game, is that the same? We'll find out when we talk about it.
I can actually talk about it. I found out that I played it and that I missed the embargo, so now I can talk about it.
Okay. Well, that's good. Then, of course, there is Until Dawn, which is like spooky rain.
Until the Swinton Dawn.
Yeah. Is she in that?
No, just plow through.
Tilda Swinton is not.
She might
be
in Doctor Strange. I just read that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
As Doctor Strange?
No, as the Ancient One?
Oh, of course.
I don't know how you got to Tilda Swinton and Doctor Strange from Until Dawn.
Stop it.
Go back to
Santa
Monica.
I don't miss you anymore. Yeah.
All right. Then, of course, there's the discussion of summer gaming, and there's some pretty cool PlayStation Plus games yet again. Let's start things out. So I've been playing The Witcher. Mm-hmm. I really like The Witcher. Have you guys had a chance to touch it at all or play it at all?
So I'm homeless.
Definitely one of those games. It is like Zach Ryan, who's one of our video guys who has been on the show before, and he sits at the desk next to me, and the two of us are like, I think we have very similar, like, we live with our significant others, and like we'll kind of go out and do stuff, and it's like there are times when like we're just not really gaming that much because real life happens, you know, and it's not part of our job description to be like reviewing stuff or going to preview stuff as much. You know, I've kind of been feeling almost like I've been slacking with gaming, and like The Witcher hit, and it's just like, nope, just hitting it hard.
600 hours.
Yeah. That is a massive, massive undertaking of a game. And I mean, I've been trying to scratch that Skyrim itch for ages, and I think it's doing it.
Oh God,
I think it's totally doing it. And
that
it's also
terrifying.
One thing I've never really been into is dialogue sequences. That's never grabbed me because it's always just like waiting for them to talk. You know, I went from watching or from playing Witcher 3 to jumping into Game of Thrones, and like the thing is shows. I think they realize that. They've recorded kind of linear video media, whatever we want to call it, movies, TV shows. They've kind of been around long enough that you can kind of like the pacing is much easier to pull off. And I was watching Game of Thrones, and like, you know, Cersei Lannister, like she just like paused mid sentence and kind of like looked around for a sec, and I'm like, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And I'll be playing The Witcher, and like its dialogue is great, like the voice acting is pretty good. But there's parts where I'm just like, skip, skip, skip. I'm reading the subtitles and I'm just getting the next part.
No, totally.
Yeah, it becomes unnatural for that reason.
And I mean, it's not even – The Witcher isn't a badly written game. And there are some examples of really incredibly written games. But by and large, like
– The thing
– A well-written movie or a well-written TV show or a book is so much – so far above and beyond.
Witcher, you aren't considering player agency in those cases, right? Like people can – like you were saying, like skip through dialogue in a way that like in a movie you're not just – well, I guess you can fast forward.
The thing I love about The Witcher though is like the dialogue – it's not just a basic choose your own adventure book. Like there's a little bit of interpretation that goes on where it's kind of like it's almost like the dialogue choices are like shorthand for what Geralt's going to say. There's a bit, I saw like a screenshot of this. This is from The Witcher 2 that popped up on Reddit, but this kind of, I think, exemplifies exactly how it works. And there's a part where you're being like interrogated. You've got your hands tied and somebody's like, you want to shake on it? And you've got like the dialogue options of like, my hands are tied, or like, that's funny. And if you choose that's funny, Geralt's just like, fuck you. And it's like, that's so good. Like it's stuff like that.
I love that.
Also, there's you know, points where you'll pick like, you know, you'll pick different kind of dialogue trees and different routes and stuff that won't really like... I went on I reloaded a save two times because I thought I was in a situation where I could totally bang out and romance a lady. Because she was really flirty and she was like super into it. Uh-huh. And there was no good ending there. It was like the game was messing with me.
Yeah.
The game was totally like actually teasing me and being like, oh, there's this like flirty lady. But the reality is that this date goes awry and nothing happened. There is no bang out state.
That's really kind of cool, awesome. Actually. That's kind of weirdly realistic.
I like
in a game
that.
About like making love with mermaids.
Some people won't have sex with you. Like that's just a reality of the world, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, also one thing, and for people playing at home, I highly suggest trying this out. Turn off the minimap. The minimap is get lost-ish. I mean, I think that I loved Skyrim so much because it was all, you know, kind of compass-driven.
Yeah.
And there was like, that was the carrot in front of the horse, you know, metaphorically.
Yeah.
You couldn't actually, you had to mod the carrots in if you wanted to have carrots in front of the horse.
You had to have like active walking around carrots, of course.
Yeah. But it was like, to have that kind of drive to pull you into the game further and to like actually explore the world, I think the compass is a much better system than a minimap because the minimap is just like, you could be looking at that. Like, the minimap honestly looks like the original Zelda. It's just like, here's a little thing
like
that's you, and you're walking around, and there's red things you should avoid.
Like, if I, like, walk around the office, and I have this with Skyrim, too, but, like, now, especially with The Witcher, like, I walk around, and I just kind of stop, and I'm like, man, that's a pretty game. Like, I'm just watching, like, stuff going on. But it's, like, it's true. Like, with the minimap, it's, like, ironically, you have the most gorgeous visuals right in front of you, and you're just focusing in, like, the bottom corner,
staring at
this flat map.
I think it puts too much emphasis on the destination, and you tend not to wander off the beaten path, whereas with the you know, either with or without the with the compass, like at the very least, if you're like, oh, I have to head north, and all of a sudden you're like, well, but over there, there's something cool looking. I feel like you're more likely to go over there as opposed to if you look at your map, you're like, well, there's a red dot that way. I better go that way. Yeah.
I really do wish that, like, you've got your Witcher senses, which is like your, you know, your kind of like detective vision or instinct mode or whatever the hell you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It'll show you like sound sources.
Ooh.
Or it'll show you if you're on a certain quest and you're trying to be following something, it'll show you like footprints or like a clue, which is fun. I wish that it did kind of like an AR, like a Google map kind of thing. So where it would show you points of interest when you went into Witcher Vision, but it wouldn't show up normally.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of, that's like one mod that I would be really all about, because like you can turn off the mini map, which is great. I would be so happy with just a compass, mm-hmm. like where your objective is in this direction, you know? But I'll pull up the world map and it'll show me where I'm supposed to be going. And like, there's enough actual detail and enough cues in the world that you can, like, if you know what time of day it is, you can follow the sun. You can kind of use that to direct yourself.
I love that so much.
And like, characters will give you actual directions where they're like, yeah, just go here, take a right, you know, go straight here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, huh. Like, go cross that bridge. And you're like, I know where the bridge is. I'm going to go to the bridge. But it's like, if you're looking at the minimap the whole time, you don't ever actually learn your way around.
No, totally. Yeah. And that's, like, good world building in open world games is when you start being able to navigate without any assistance. We're like, oh, I know where all these landmarks are.
That's good real-life navigation.
Yeah, like, totally.
The thing is, when I moved to San Francisco the first time, I didn't have a smartphone. Mm-hmm. I got lost all the time. I got turned around. I never went to the mission because half of San Francisco is like on one grid and the other half is on another, and they're separated by this giant diagonal street. It makes no sense. You can actually wind up on the corner of 3rd and 20th, which makes zero sense. And that's both streets. Yeah. They're not, it's like not like one's an avenue. It's just, it's a nonsense world. I eventually got a smartphone, but I had like really limited data. Yeah. So I would like, when I was on Wi-Fi or whatever, I'd pull up a map with directions, and I would use it as reference. Like, I'd be like, here's point A, here's point B, here's the basic number of steps I have to take. But I mean, it's basically how to play Witcher. If you're standing there staring at your phone the whole time, you have no idea where you are, mm-hmm. and someone will mug you.
Yeah.
And, so I don't know. That's just a big tip for people who are playing.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it makes it more immersive too, right? Because it's like if you aren't starting the minimap, if you aren't opening the world map and not really talking to people and listening, then mm-hmm. you never get that feeling beyond like, okay, I'm going to this waypoint. Mm-hmm. But like it makes it feel like a real world when you talk to people. And that's like so rare. I think like GTA has a tiny bit of that occasionally and it's like finer, more serious moments. But like that's my favorite thing about an open world game is like when it feels like a real world.
Yep.
And yeah, there are mermaids and crazy shit going on. But like,
so we always say are there actually mermaids in the game?
They were in the first trailer.
Oh, okay.
They got their breastises out.
Their breastises?
Which doesn't make any sense because they're fish. They're half fish.
So they
technically have fish milk.
Is that a real thing? Oh, isn't that
if
like
a mermaid
like
has a breast?
Ginkgo biloba?
I mean, like if mermaids, like fish don't have breasts. They don't have mammaries. There's no reason for that.
That's because they're not mammals.
But what is it? Why would a mermaid have breasts?
Because she's half mammal.
Yeah.
That's like
it's
an upper half.
So theoretically, do baby mermaids, like, do they nurse? Are they like nurse sharks?
Absolutely assume they do.
Anyway,
the fish half lay eggs though?
Yes.
So they're born of eggs and then they grow into
My understanding about fish breeding is that it's a little bit like divorced parents who will like the mom will be like, hey, honey, sweetie, I left the eggs. The eggs are out. The eggs have soccer practice until 5. Can you go by and fertilize them? And then the fish dad will be like, yeah, I'll go take care of that. And then it'll be like, I took care of the babies will be spawning soon. Let's meet up back then. I got some work stuff, but I'm seeing the sturgeon down the way.
This was in Planet Earth.
Yeah. I like that, by the way, when you write down the swears, you write down the time, and then you shame the person by writing their name.
Or I mean, there was the one episode where Altana went on some, I think he was going on a Bloodborne rant, and it was just like 7 in a row. And I'm just like, God, this just keeps happening.
Just drawing a bracket.
A bracket.
So another thing to talk about, Witcher 3 is the hot new jam right now. The one thing that I know a lot of people, kind of myself included, is Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be kind of the next thing they do after that. The Witcher 3 is the last CD Projekt Red Witcher game. Like, this is the end of the story for them, and they're doing Cyberpunk after that. They are working with Mike Pondsmith, who wrote the original Cyberpunk 2025 game. And he came out to announce it, and they had this really cool CG trailer. That was a while ago at E3, I think 2 years ago. They had,
while I still worked here.
Yeah.
They had a single gun replica of one of the cyberpunk guns they want to have in a glass case at their booth. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, what's up with cyberpunk? They're like, we can't talk about it.
I was like, well, why do you have that there?
They kind of elaborated on that. And they said that we probably won't hear more about it until – I'm not sure if they said –
I believe they said we probably won't hear about it before 2017.
We won't hear about it before 2017, yeah. Which is a lot.
Yeah.
But they've also been like, we're not really working on it yet.
Yeah.
Well, they also sort of announced it as a next-gen game before next-gen existed.
Sure,
so it's
sure.
Like, I think like from the beginning it's in this weird nebulous, like just exciting, cool, futuristic thing.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of it sort of being – the fallout to their Skyrim, right? Like
yeah.
That, like Witcher is more of that like exploration based,
totally.
Like big
yeah.
Open world, and this is that cool, like futuristic thing. So
yeah. I mean that's kind of the I almost imagine that the gaps between the games are going to be like that. Like the gaps between from Oblivion to Fallout 3 to Skyrim to in theory Fallout 4 if we see it soon.
I'm like really, really okay with that.
Yeah. So
I think it's a little bit frustrating when we have companies like Ubisoft who are like, Watch Dogs coming soon.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Just a minute. Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Well, but that's
no, seriously,
thing.
Wait a minute.
We'll
get you next time.
2 weeks now. Come on. Just.
Is that your French accent?
No.
That'd
be a really weird
guy,
French accent.
That's his Mr. Caffeine.
Oh, God.
Yeah. That's the French guy's imitation of an American accent.
The weird thing is like.
Tom Clancy.
I think, that's annoying, like having, like dragging it out more and more and more, like announcing it too early. And then also just like with an annualized, like if The Witcher was an annualized franchise, like you would never finish any of them. Like,
no,
and that's
get
the thing,
out.
Like
yeah.
You want like 3 years in between just to have to get back to that mindset to want to explore.
Here's an interesting question. What if The Witcher was broken up into separate games?
Or I mean, episodic or something?
I mean, like it's a 200 plus hour game. With four massive maps that are all
yeah.
Like those are each one of those could be an open world game mm-hmm. and people would probably
sure.
be okay with it.
Yeah.
Tons and tons of systems. They've got 16 weeks of free DLC or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. They just keep
it's
announcing
insane.
It. Keeps
and the
out.
Game shipped working.
Yeah.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had like some weird graphical stuff and they're like, sorry, it wasn't as cool as our trailers that we like everyone else is like, oh, it didn't look like our trailer. Oh, that's weird. Oh, hey, look over there. And
yeah.
This is like they were like, hey, sorry, we'll have a patch up. It probably won't be up before the weekend. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
They're like, sorry, it's beautiful instead of the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Like,
yeah.
Sorry, it's like a 9.9 instead of a 10 on
yeah.
the graphics scale. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just yep. also, I had a bunch of people being like, oh, Max is going to be pissed. Cyberpunk's not going to we're going to hear about until 2017. Like, it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Take your time.
Sure. We are not going to see that game for a long time, and that's totally okay.
Yeah. I would rather have that than some fake trailer at E3 this year
yeah.
and the game not coming out for 2.5 years and not looking like whatever.
Yeah, just like a new logo or whatever tease that people
yeah.
do. Yeah.
And also, yeah, we've gotten, I don't know, it's just like we talk about entitlement a lot, but there's also just that like I want it now mentality that comes with annualization and comes with mobile gaming where
mm-hmm.
like everything's just in the palm of your hands and sort of the art of waiting for something has somehow fell by the wayside over the
yeah.
past, I don't know, generation or last couple of years.
I think people kind of want it both ways too. They're like they get mad when people take too long and then they get mad when something's annualized.
Yep.
I think it's this weird feeling where like I feel like it's this like trust issue that like the gaming industry feels like it has at large because
mm-hmm.
of stuff like Last Guardian and because like we'll see these like long drawn out development cycles and then it just never actually happens.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like when something is like announced like 3 years early and then we haven't seen it, people are like, oh, well, it's just never coming.
I mean, it's funny. It's like it seems like one of the rare last bastions of that original idea of thinking is Nintendo. Because Nintendo
mm-hmm.
is still very much the you'll get it when you get it.
Mm-hmm.
And generally it looks just as awesome as when they showed it off originally.
Yeah.
I mean, that said, I do think there's a problem, and I understand the reasoning behind it, but people announce games too early. They just
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, it would be really nice if people would just wait. I keep saying people, like, as though there's, like, one guy making this decision.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if companies would wait until it was, like, a little bit closer. Because I think,
yeah.
like, when something gets announced and you have it 9 months later, like, that's cool. Like, if we see games announced at E3 and then
mm-hmm.
they're out this fall, that's exciting.
Yeah. Rockstar tends to do a good job of that.
Yeah.
I think
mm-hmm.
on that front, I'm a little bit wary of how CD Projekt did the Cyberpunk trailer and like announced it, and they were like, "Hey, here's a picture of a lady with knives for arms. Here's a gun that we made
mm-hmm.
in our prop department."
Like,
and
like?
Then,
yeah, and a bunch
here's
of clearly
trailer.
Very pretty, but it was like clearly like
yeah.
not gameplay.
But
yeah.
at the same time, I kind of like they're I don't want to say a smaller studio, but they're definitely like an up and coming. Like
they're going through massive growth spurt.
They made
right now.
Three games.
Yeah,
you know,
and like, this is by far going to be their biggest
Did they make games before The Witcher? That's a really important question.
We don't know
off the top of our heads if they did. So no, like that's not.
And it was probably PC only.
Yeah. So they've definitely grown a whole lot, and I think that like to announce Cyberpunk side by side with The Witcher is kind of being like, hey, we're one of the big guys. Just let us like wait around a minute, you know, because the fact that they had like Cyberpunk branding at all at the same time as The Witcher, if they just had a booth that was like, here's our game, The Witcher, people would be like, what is this, some weird Eastern European PC title? And it's like, no, this is probably going to be a lot of people's game of the year.
Totally. They do have two studios, though, right? They have a Warsaw and a Krakow studio.
Right. Yeah. So they're both in Poland, I believe. But
yes.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they have two locations.
That was your Poland fact. Speaking of Poland, that's what happens when Brian's gone.
Here's a thing. There's a game, and I wrote wrong in this list. This is Max the video game.
It's not Max the video
this
game?
This is great. It's about a skateboarding dog, and he's got sunglasses on, and he's got to jump around and pick up all the different donuts and sodas. Collect footballs for bonus points. Max the video game coming soon to the Sega Genesis.
Well, we're done here.
Max.
No, I want to talk about Mad Max, the Avalanche one. That's Marty. Did you?
Yeah, I played it.
And can you talk about it?
Yes. I played it. I was gone at Judges Week last week, and one of the games I played and can talk about now is Mad Max. Yes, Avalanche is developing it, which is also the studio that does the Just Cause games.
They're very busy.
Yeah.
They're doing something else, do they?
No, that's another Avalanche.
Oh, okay.
There's another Avalanche that's working on Disney Infinity 3.0.
That's it.
Like, one is Avalanche Games and one is Avalanche Studios. I was very confused last week.
What a dumb thing.
It's funny because before The Walking Dead, like before Telltale was Telltale, people used to get them confused with Traveler Tales.
The
LEGO games.
Man, The Walking Dead guys did the LEGO games. Now that's crazy.
Traveler Tales goes by TT.
Right. Yeah.
Then, of course, there's CC game.
CCP?
Yeah, CCP, and then there's 6C, I think.
Well, then there's the people who just made, what is it, Sunset, Tale of Tales, or whatever they call it. Yeah, so it's like, it's very confusing.
Everyone gets different names.
The video game company names are bad.
And then there's that game Max, and this game Mad Max.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough one. But the new Mad Max. Everyone is so hyped. The Fury Road is an awesome movie. It kicks ass.
Yeah.
This game
has good things.
Okay, tell us about the good ones.
The game has good things. So what we played, it did not touch really on the story whatsoever, but it's very clearly not tied one-to-one with Fury Road. Your character is not Tom Hardy. There was no sign of a Furiosa-esque character. The game was much more desaturated,
like color-wise?
Color-wise than Fury Road is. I don't know where it takes place chronologically. Like, he knows that the Thunderdome exists.
Okay.
So that's a thing. The good stuff is the car combat. The car stuff is actually really cool. It's super customizable. A lot of the game is like coming upon a group of like roving bandits in cars that are trying to knock you off the road, and you have a bunch of different ways to mess them up. Like, you have a harpoon that you can fire at specific parts of the car and pull them off. You can pull off a dude's wheel and it explodes. You can pull a door out and actually pull the dude out. You can shoot flames out the side of your car. You got guns. You can tell your weird like Gimp Man buddy to take the wheel, and then you climb into the back and you have a sniper rifle, so while he's driving you're sniping at dudes.
So in all the ways you just described, it does sound like Fury Road.
Yes, until the parts where you have to get out of the car and that Max is just like a stumbling idiot.
Really?
It's really like it uses a similar combat engine as like Batman or Mordor.
Okay.
But your character just doesn't control well. It's like very fumbly and stumbly, like almost like a, you know how like certain Rockstar games have like weird inertia? Like, when you're running forward and then you want to, like, make a U-turn, like, your guy kind of
keeps going,
and he's kind of like,
if you jump and then you ragdoll, you're like a flipper.
I'm like, why is this happening? And so that felt weird. Picking up items is kind of excruciating because the detection box on the ground, and you, like, are scavenging stuff throughout the whole game, and the hitbox and, like, the detection box on the ground is very small. And so you're like, oh, I'm going to go pick that up. And you're like, oh, wait, I walked a step over it. Now I have to, oh, no, I'm a step to the left.
And the walking isn't tight.
And then you have to hold X for, like, 5 seconds and a little meter comes up to pick something up, and there's no reason not to pick anything up because it's not like you can become encumbered or run out of space.
God.
It's just like, why would I not pick up this money?
Yeah.
I want this money. The combat was kind of slow and weird. I'm intrigued. Like, the car combat stuff was good enough, and this game is a couple months out, and some of this stuff absolutely can be fixed.
This year?
Yeah, it's September.
Yeah. So
in theory.
Yeah. I'm just like, aside from, that's the thing that really kind of bugged me, because like somebody was saying this about how it feels more like Batman, like just basic traversal, than it does Mordor, and I thought Mordor was like a really fast, tight game. Like it felt good to run around,
totally.
Which didn't make any sense because you're like a man in the wilderness, and it was like you get power ups that you jump over ghosts.
I like how like when you want to run fast, you just kind of like bend over and start like shrugging.
Yeah, we're like shuffle.
Don't think about it. It's okay. Yeah. It's just fast.
It's
whatever.
Like you can land and like roll into it and just keep going.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. That was that was really fun. And just to think that suddenly I'm going to be like getting out of a car and being like,
yeah,
doing the Batman walk, and it's just like I don't like. It's weird to think that like a Middle Earth ranger would be more agile than Batman.
Yeah, right.
He's trained by ninjas. Yeah. You know, one of them's like a woodsman. The other's like trained by ninjas. Anyway, Mad Max.
It's just also the open world. I know it's like supposed to be like a desolate post-apocalyptic desert. I didn't see a ton of interesting stuff to do. Which again, this is a very small slice. You know, I only played the game for 40 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes. And it's also, if it's coming out in September, it's coming out alongside Phantom Pain, which is also a big open world game set in a deserty location.
Yeah, this is probably, and it's like, man, like if Fallout does get announced, then that's not going to be good for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Because Fallout. Yeah.
Like I don't feel bad for it, but it's just like the timing next to Fury Road. Like obviously that's what they're trying to get. Like they want to piggyback off of that, but like I feel like that comparison sounds like it's actually unflattering. Like it sounds like it's hurting it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that really like people are going to pick it up and be like, hey, this reminds me of this thing, but it's just like. It looks like the difference between Batman Arkham Knight and like the Dark Knight, you know?
Yeah.
Except the difference there is that there was not an overabundance of really good Batman games at the time.
Yep.
You know, there have been a ton of post-apocalyptic games. There's a really good likelihood we're going to have Fallout 4 revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And this just seems like it's going to be kind of like paling in comparison to other stuff from both sides, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The one kind of upside is we haven't really had solid car combat in an open world setting.
Yes, I completely agree with
that. Car combat used to be one of those like just tenets of gameplay. We had Twisted Metal, we had like
Full Auto.
Yeah, there was like Carmageddon.
Carmageddon, coming back.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah.
But like, what is it? I mean, there was a Star Wars car combat game. There was Star
Super
Wars
Bomb
Demolition.
Bomb. Oh, Demolition!
Yeah, that was the thing. That was like, it's like Twisted Metal, but with you can be you could be Boba Fett. Like,
I forgot how many Twisted Metal clones there were. Like Vigilante 8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that was a thing. That was a huge thing for a while, and then it just stopped pretty much. And then like there was like one Twisted Metal game, and it felt kind of dated in some ways.
Yeah,
a lot of people really liked it, but then like we really haven't seen like that coupled with like, I mean. Like open world driving is kind of a standard thing.
Yeah.
Like, but we haven't seen it with combat. And like, there's a little bit in Saints Row, sort of. Mm-hmm. You know, with some GTA mods. But
Vehicle controls are generally like it's very, very rare to hear like, oh, like the walking controls are bad and the vehicle controls are great.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost always the opposite.
That's really bizarre.
Yeah. It makes me want like just them to license out their car combat engine to like every other open world game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just the trailer for this that just dropped made me so. I rolled my eyes a lot and I groaned and just I looked like I was having some kind of weird
episode.
Weird sexy thing. I was just like, oh. But really,
that would
just,
be a really weird sexy thing.
This trailer exemplifies, like, if you take Fury Road and you look at, like, everything that I liked in Fury Road is the stuff that really isn't showing up in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is like the surface level. This is like the shallow versions of it.
But right? I mean, to be fair, that's how Shadow of Mordor was marketed too, and I went in with such low expectations that were completely blown away. Mm-hmm. And like the thing is Shadow of Mordor had like a garbage story. Like it was just not an interesting story. The world wasn't really that great, but it was really, really fun. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I totally got my money's worth with that. I played it. I loved it. And I was okay with it. You know, like that's how video games kind of used to be in a sense. We didn't have to like, you didn't have to fall in love with them, you know? Like we used to be like, let's play this game for a while because it's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, yeah, but will I buy an action figure of it and maybe get a tattoo? And like, are you invested in the story?
Yeah.
There was a time when like video game characters didn't really matter. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it kind of like a return to that where it's like, you like cars, you like to shoot a man.
Check
this out.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good point. You also have on here, there was an NES Mad Max game, which I totally don't remember.
Guess who was going to be on this episode but wasn't able to and who probably wrote
that note? Was that Jared?
That's probably Jared Petty.
This is Jared's fault. Also, I should have known it was him because he called it Mad Max instead of Max Max.
Yeah.
Jared was supposed to be on this episode, but he had a scheduling conflict because E3 is horrible.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be curious to see the reception of this after, like, Batman and stuff, too. Like, because that's another, like, man, that's a good open world game that looks like, I mean, like, I played E3 last year, I guess, and, like, those the car controls feel pretty good, mm-hmm. or at least they did to me.
Yeah, we have a lot of open world games coming up. I mean, Avalanche is making another one, too, that people are excited about with Just Cause. Yep.
Do you think that, I mean, this is clearly, like, this is going to be one of the genres that's kind of just native to this generation, I think. Like, I think it's going to be, why isn't it open world? You have the power to do that. You've, mm-hmm. like, we figured out a formula that works.
I mean, that started happening last gen, too, right? It's like, even like the Lego games, once they finally opened up, what was it, Lego Batman 2 was finally open world. Then I think they released another one right after that wasn't, and people were like, oh, go back to open world.
Yeah.
It's almost like expected from every game now.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really dangerous too, because to have an open world where there's not enough to do, or where it's like you really are going to notice it, and you're like, why isn't this just a guided story?
Well, and there are weird things that, like, I don't know. Like, I remember, like, I think Bioshock Infinite are good examples of things people expected to be that, mm-hmm. and then they're just not. They're actually like pretty linear.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Yeah, I think it's you need the world has to feel interesting enough to make it worth not being able to go over there.
You know?
I think people are used to being like, I want to go explore that hill. And then when you hit like an invisible wall or something, it's like frustrating.
Oh, why did this happen? Yeah.
It was my understanding that Bioshock Infinite was supposed to be an open world, but had its share of limitations both on the kind of development side and otherwise. And it's like, why else would you have a rail system if you're just going to be going from like area to area?
Circles.
Having like fast, that was the fast travel, which Sunset Overdrive totally used.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and like, I mean, Infinite was like, again, exploring that idea of like almost like an amusement park gone awry.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, so one game that is not an open world game that's coming soon, it's sort of an opposite type of game, Until Dawn.
You're good at your segues.
I have my moments. Until Dawn is that one that looks like Cabin in the Woods meets Heavy Rain, kind of. This was announced a while ago.
Yeah, so it was originally
a Move game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, super
for
long
PS3,
time ago.
Wasn't
and it,
it
was, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
it was like Gamescom 2012.
Yeah. But it sort of got rebooted, I think, last year. With a cast with Hayden Panettiere and Rami Malek, who's a real person who was in the Pacific.
You know who's in it is Peter Stormare.
That's the only one that matters.
Peter Stormare,
thank you for adding this image to the doc, by the way.
Is the scary guy who looks sort of like Bruce Willis in Fargo, and Carl Hungus, the star of Logjammin' from The Big Lebowski, who's also apparently an Arrow, but I only watch Coen Brothers films.
I only watch movies with a man named Hungus in it.
Yep. Carl Hungus, Logjammin'.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you a big horror guy?
I'm a huge horror guy, and I really like what I played of this last year at Gamescom, we'll go with. It was a country.
Yes, who cares?
Probably a Gamescom. Yeah, I think it was a Gamescom. Yes, because it was a hotel I had never been in, which could only happen in Germany. I really like the idea, that core conceit of anyone can die and anyone can live. Like, you can end this game with all of your kids dead, or you can end this game with all of your kids alive, or half of them can be heartbroken because their lovers are dead.
It's like the Mass Effect 2 of horror games.
Yes, it is. Wow. They are going to pull that one out. Put that on a box. And I liked I like sort of the vibe. It's for as many like sort of teen slasher movies as there are, games don't do that.
It's
games
hard to
haven't done that.
It's kind of hard to pull off. Like we had stuff like Night Trap, you know?
Yeah. And there is a Friday the 13th game in the works right now, which we don't know anything of, which may or may not be 4v1, and I might have made that up. I might have drunkenly pitched.
I think we talked about this.
I think we got drunk and started talking about Friday the 13th.
It's not officially Friday the 13th, but like, God, the guy who played Jason in the movies is in it for mocap or something, and they've kind of explained.
I think it is actually Friday. I don't know.
I have absolutely no idea what.
Yep, yeah, you missed it.
I want a Friday the 13th game where it's like Shadow of Mordor, but instead of orcs, it's just horny camp counselors. But they start making crazy contrat. Like, they make catapults out of canoes, and you're super fast, but you're just.
And you run like this.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Jumping around, riding dogs is Jason. Just Jason jumps on the back of a dog. Dog runs up on top of a cabin. They're like, why?
Why are you doing this? August 25th, though, which means I thought this might have got pushed all the way to the fall to be one of Sony's fall games because they don't seem to have a lot of those right now.
Yep.
But it's not. I think this is a good time for it, though, because like, as of right now, there's a massive gap between Arkham, which comes out, I think, the week after E3, and something like Metal Gear, which comes out in the middle of September.
Yeah.
So there's sort of this big gap that, like, if there's a big July or August game, like, you're going to have room to breathe.
Yeah.
I feel like that happens every year. There's, like, a huge gap where nothing's coming out, and there's like 1 week in November where like 11 games come out.
Yeah, and they're like, why did any of this happen?
Yeah. Also, I mean, with these open world games, I think we're going to reach a point where people opt out of stuff because they're like, I know a bunch of people have been like, I'm not going to play The Witcher. I don't have 200 hours to play.
Especially
a game.
If they just came off of Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Like, I
yeah.
think people are just like, even though they're not really that similar, like, it's like similar enough.
Yeah.
There's swords in both of them. Yeah. You can have sex.
We talked for a while ago, despite the fact that we didn't really like the order for what it was, its length, we were totally fine with.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to do a game in 5 or 6 hours, like, I imagine this isn't going to be a super long game, especially if I just choose to have all my kids die right away. I'll get to a real quick ending.
Well, they
just
had
Peter Stromare.
Yeah.
Just hanging out, log jamming.
Yeah, log jamming with Carl Hungus. I don't know. We don't know anything about the story of this aside from there's kids in a cabin and there's a scary man. And
there's a scary man. The last trailer made it sound like there might be some spooky entities. There's a lot of touching stuff, like jump scares. It's actually spooky.
I would kill if there was some kind of like Cabin in the Woods style twist to it. Like,
yeah, Jesus.
Well, they have the logo for it is like a butterfly and it shows these kind of veins going through the wings and it's like you choose who lives and who. And I'm like, oh, that's like, it's a branching path.
Yeah.
But how many endings did Heavy Rain have?
750.
I don't know.
That had a bunch of different ways things could work out. Yeah. And that was a game that was trying to, like, that had four separate characters doing their own thing, and it was still kind of actually like this world that you were navigating. How does this control?
When you're actually moving around, it is sort of like a very slow third-person over-the-shoulder game, and there are nodes to interact with throughout the environment. Almost not super dissimilar to a Telltale game. It's definitely like you are in a room and you can explore the room. And once you explore the one thing that triggers the next scene, you're in the hallway after that room.
Is it still going to be motion controlled
at
all?
No. As far as I know, was there like DualShock 4 stuff?
I'm actually a little bit disappointed by that.
Yeah.
In no way disappointed.
here's my thinking there is that I love the idea of this as a party game,
mm-hmm.
getting a bunch of people. Theoretically, if this is a game that has a million different branching pathways and endings and people can live and people can die. You get a bunch of your friends over, you all get drunk and you're gonna get shouting at the TV mm-hmm. and somebody's gonna have the controller and something scary happens and everyone jumps and the person who's got the controller is trying to fumble with this thing or whatever. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets mad at him if Hayden Panettiere dies.
Yeah.
Because you have to save the cheerleader to save the world.
God,
sorry,
so
no
Heroes Reborn coming in fall.
No, I don't know. If it does have motion controls, I'm sure they're going to be like, no, it's fine. You can turn them off. They might have been like demoing it with regular stuff. But I love the idea of this as a big, like, fun, couchy co-op game that people can play together.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yep. Yeah. I think we need more of this.
Yeah, I was talking with someone about how interesting it would be if certain games like this or like a Telltale game were played in theaters where the audience all had whatever, a 1% vote in the final outcome.
It's like that one lifeline and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the entire thing is like ask the audience.
I saw a video when I was in, no joke, third grade that it was like about the future of entertainment and it had like crappy 1995 VR headsets in it and then it had somebody, one of those people in like the gyroscope things, which didn't have anything to do with anything. But they had this one shot of like a joystick on a movie theater seat that had three buttons and everyone was watching this movie that had somebody riding on a track bike, like mm-hmm. a mountain bike, and there was a fork in the roads, and everyone's like pushing buttons to choose which way that he would go, and I'm like, and it was like live action video, it wasn't like a video game, but we're at a point where like that's exactly what this is.
Morpheus' launch title, Fork in the Road, the road less traveled.
will Bike Man go?
And then he just goes down and fades out, and that's it. It's the ending of Castaway. Is there a spoilers for Castaway? Sorry. I think that's happened. I think surely there must be some theater somewhere that's experimented with like they shot two endings and the audience chooses one. Like
Clue.
There was.
I mean, there
it depended which theater you chose to go to.
Someone else murdered. There was that Francis Ford Coppola movie called Twixt that Dan Deacon did the score for.
You might be thinking of the candy bar.
I am not. This is Twixt.
Oh, pardon me.
Dan Deacon did the soundtrack for a Coppola movie. What?
And they went around to certain theaters, and I saw it here in San Francisco. And Dan Deacon was in the back along with Francis Ford Coppola, and they would edit the movie and score it differently depending on the audience's reaction to things. Like, he would be editing the movie live. Like, he would be 10 minutes ahead of you, moving things around and ending scenes early. and Dan Deacon would be like making noises.
That's really cool.
The movie was dumb. Like Val Kilmer was a chubby vampire, and like one of the fannings.
He can't help it.
Like the third fanning was in the movie. The movie was dumb. Like the thing as a whole was super interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So summer gaming is the thing that's approaching us rapidly because the seasons do change. Much like the turning of the earth.
Remember that thing about the good segues?
We got an email from Kenneth in Norway who says, I wanted to hear your thoughts on your gaming habits during the summer months. Me personally, I find it less gratifying to play my games during the summer. I always feel guilty when I'm sitting inside when there's this awesome weather outside, in which turn leads me to not appreciate the current video game I'm playing. Me and my friend have discussed this for a while now. We both seem to agree that lengthy RPGs and stuff like that isn't enjoyable during those warm and nice summer months, opting instead to go for games like car simulations, fighting games, and games that have you don't necessarily have to invest a lot of hours in one sitting seems to be a better approach.
So Kenneth's in Norway. Do they have summers there?
They have about 2 hours of summer
every
solstice.
That was a math problem.
They call it the Great Eye of the Universe opening.
I feel like as a kid, I played most of my games during the summer because obviously summer vacation and stuff. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, I probably played the least right now.
Yeah.
I mean, in this job especially because it's like 3 and we're busy. But even before that, I feel like summer is the time when like, it's like, nope, not discussing out anymore. I'm going to go out and do stuff.
Yeah.
I'm totally with him on this. I'm going to be playing The Witcher all summer.
I know. So like you're with him on this, but it's like, man, that's Witcher, you came out at a sad time.
I have to play it because it's out now, you know? But like I really do kind of like I like that a bunch of games come out in November. I'm glad that more games are coming out like around January, February, because it's like, especially for us, it's like kind of slower then. It's gross out. It's not, there's like less daylight and it's like, it's kind of weird because it's like, oh, it's light until, you know, 10 o'clock. I'm going to stay inside until 10 o'clock and then continue staying inside.
Yeah. I totally agree. Like I remember summers in elementary school all the way through high school where like I can specifically remember, especially RPGs, like getting something and like playing through like a Final Fantasy game or a Suikoden or something like that. And like having those games completely take over my summer. Like I have an early June birthday and so I always remember whatever, like I would get a game for my birthday and I remember like playing through Super Metroid or Banjo-Kazooie or something like that.
Just those two, though.
Every year I would jump back and forth.
Your parents would rewrap it and give it back to you.
Like, oh, this game's so great.
I remember sitting at my best friend was having his like 4th of July barbecue, I think, and he'd just beaten Final Fantasy, I guess it was 3, which technically is 6 or whatever.
Yeah.
And we
the
had like,
the Final Fantasy.
And it had like, that had like a half hour ending, which is it's a Super Nintendo game. So you're just sitting there reading it's like a PowerPoint presentation. You're like, all right. And most of us had no idea. I mean, most of us had no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
I'd kind of been in and out of like sort of following things. So I think I at the time knew what people were saying.
I hope Kafka's all right.
Yeah. But we were all like, whoa, look at that gradient that just moved there. Weird. Oh, those are some big numbers flying off of that guy. Like, it wasn't exciting at all, but we were all like kind of gathered around.
Yeah,
we're like, this is interesting. He just beat this game he's been grinding away at for hours and hours. I'm all for like stupid summer games. We party more in the summer because it's like you could stay up later and it's like, you know, it's easier to get out of bed in the morning. And
yeah,
and I feel like now it's a good time for like, man, like that feels like a great time to play like Nidhogg or Towerfall or
I was
one of those
just,
like, competitive
games. God, I'm so glad you brought up Nidhogg. Yeah. I had some of the most fun playing a video game in the last, like with another person that I've had in the last, I don't even know how many months or years or whatever. One of my really good best friends from high school, who I hadn't hung out with in a while because we both have girlfriends and jobs and stuff. We just were like, let's get together. And my fiance was out of the house. So the two of us decided to get your pen out, absolutely just house drunk. And just like we were wearing backwards hats and like playing Judas Priest records and just being the dumbest guys. And we started doing Nidhogg and Towerfall tournaments that we were like sort of making up as we went along, but going shot for shot. We played a round of Nidhogg that lasted 18 minutes. I died 93 times, but I won. It was insane. We were flailing around on the couch and like kicking the rug up and like falling off the couch like kids in a crappy like 90s commercial. But we're both in our like late 20s and we're just like, get the sword, rip his neck off, And it was so much fun. And I'm like, that's the kind of game I want in the summer, you know?
Yeah,
like
totally.
I want
to. Perfect.
I mean, it's kind of fun because you will have games that kind of like GTA. totally also a summer game because you could be like, yo, let's try to hit that jump repeatedly.
Yeah.
Like, or you could literally just be like, let's drive down the highway listening to music.
Yeah.
Like it's like a sad simulator of what you could be doing outside.
Who can do the most damage with before the tank shows up?
Or whatever,
you know, like, and I kind of like, I love the idea of having a, like an open world game that has a mini game in it that is satisfying enough that it works on that level.
Well, yeah. And there's also like, for me, summer is associated with day drinking, much like the rest of the year. But like we've had, like I think we've in the 2 weeks we've been back, we've had bottomless mimosas twice.
I think,
and
three,
we've drank literally
three or four.
Okay,
times.
And so one of the times I went back to my apartment and I was like, I'm gonna play a game, and I'm playing through Ori still. And I'm like, I'm gonna play Ori and the Blind Forest, which is a very difficult game that requires precise timing that is completely lost if you've had 11 mimosas. And so I got home, I'm like, I can't play Ori. I'll go back into Bloodborne. I'm like, can't play Bloodborne either. God. And so it's, yeah, it's totally finding that game, like, oh, like a Katamari or like something dumb like Tony Hawk or which we found out his name's Anthony Hawk.
Dr. Anthony Hawk.
Dr. Anthony Hawk. Wait, why doctor?
Because he's
a doctor of numerology.
He's the doctor of 720s. I don't know.
Excuse me just one moment while we take a brief word from our sponsor. Whether you guys are trying to create a blog, website, or an online store, Squarespace is the easiest solution. With an easy-to-use interface, gorgeous templates, and handy 24/7 customer service from actual human beings, Squarespace is the smartest and simplest way to stake your claim to your own little corner of the internet. Are you trying to break into the games industry? Because Squarespace can be used to make a great-looking portfolio, whether you're an aspiring developer or member of the media. Head over to squarespace.com for a free trial today and use the offer code IGN at checkout to get 10% off your order. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Let's see. I got an email.
Yeah.
This one is from a lovely droid named CM14, apparently. Beyond, I'll get to the point. The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, Batman Arkham Knight, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, Persona 5, Final... this was the...
Jesus.
What's your guys' top three of these?
No. Okay,
most anticipated games.
Yes.
So his
was, I guess, the subject.
Okay, so CM14 said his top five most anticipated games right now are The Witcher, which you got that. Congrats.
You can stop anticipating
Arkham Knight, Phantom Pain, Persona 5, and then a tie for Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts. And he asked us what our top three most anticipated games are of the moment.
Persona 5 is way high up for me.
Is that right up there with you?
Yeah, that's definitely my number one.
Yeah, which we're going to get into Persona soon.
We are. And Batman also. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like
really?
I mean, it's weird, right? Because I loved Arkham Asylum and City. And then Origins, like whatever. Felt like too much. I wasn't really excited.
We can stop counting that one.
Yeah, exactly.
That one doesn't count.
They aren't even in that collection that was rumored, right? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm ready to jump back into it. Like, I am not super enamored with what I've seen of Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman. Like, I don't really feel like there's, like, an awesome, like, Batman adventure coming the way I was, like, still anticipating Nolan movies back in the day. And so, I don't know. Like, this feels like, I'm a big Batman dork, and, like, I can get into this.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
But it's weird because those are the first two, like, big AAA games I've been anticipating in so long. Like, and it's funny because I mostly find myself thinking about, like, oh, man, like, really want to play Tacoma, or like really want to play like Firewatch.
Dude, Firewatch is like the one that's on my list right now of everything we've seen, and that's one of those games that we know. Like, it's easier for me to get excited for a game that's on the horizon. That's a Firewatch joke.
Ooh.
Than it is for something like. I don't know if I mentioned on this podcast, back when I was working at 1UP, this was like 3 years ago probably, we each did what our three most anticipated games of the moment were, and my three were BioShock Infinite, The Last Guardian, and The Witness.
You
so two of those games still aren't out.
That's
so
cool.
Two of those games are still on my list, and so I'll add Firewatch in there. Yeah,
sure.
Man, there's so many little games. Like, Phantom Pain.
Oh,
I dreamed about the Phantom Pain last night.
Yeah.
I had dreams about it, which is like when I'm at that point, I'm like, this is a little bit worrisome.
Yep.
It's one thing to be playing a game a bunch and to dream about it and be like, I did that all day, you know, but like, have weird dreams where it's like, I think Snake was skinning a buffalo or something. And I'm like, is that confirmed? Where's his shirt? I don't know. He does this part where he takes his shirt off in the game.
Yeah.
Why do he's got little bandoliers over that. He looks like a fireman and like a sexy calendar.
There's a lot of different costumes in the game.
That's going to be fun costumes for that game.
Yeah.
Phantom Pain, yes. I might pick up Arkham Knight, but I'm totally not.
You're
I'm
like
just
pumped
yeah,
about it. Sure.
It's been a while. It's been one of those like I was super excited for it probably like 6 to 9 months ago, and then it was just maybe just oversaturation.
Yeah. It's the exact thing we're just talking about. It's like, oh wait, keep waiting.
Yeah, if that hadn't been delayed,
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? If this had been, again, like announced E3, it's out that fall, like that's one of those things where I think you can build too much momentum for something. Mm-hmm. Like I think you can like Watch Dogs was an 18-month announcement to coming out. Like that's way too long. And that's, I guess, gross. Arkham is approaching that too.
And I mean, you know, looking at, we're doing our E3 planning now, and there's a bunch of stuff there that I'm super excited for. I mean, I'm Uncharted 4, obviously. That's one of those things, like the Naughty Dog just sort of hasn't failed in a very long time. I'm, like, not only hasn't failed, but it's just delivered incredible things time and time again.
And that's that weird thing where, like, that one, like, I'm like super excited for Uncharted 4. It's one of those things where it doesn't even come to mind because it's
sort
like
of just on the radar.
I feel like that's not like being excited for it because you know it's going to be good. It's a, like, that's just waiting for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can wait.
That,
you know?
Yeah, that's
when
totally
it's done,
sense.
It's done.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just totally, I'll trust it. Like, that's sort of how I'm feeling about the new Star Wars movie. Like, I'm just kind of like,
all right, everything you've done so far has been perfect. So
it's
just
go back to work, finish it. You don't have to come over here and flirt with me with your trailers.
I feel like I never need to see a trailer for that. Yeah. Just tell me when it's out.
So, yeah, Metal Gear Solid, a bunch of, like, indie stuff. Firewatch is up there. Night in the Woods.
Yeah.
I really want to play that game.
Yep.
Is Oxenfree this year?
Yeah.
Oxenfree.
Oxenfree. Ooh, I got to play, I think, I could talk about it. What Remains of Edith Finch, which is the second game by Giant Sparrow, who did The Unfinished Swan.
Oh, wow.
And I got to play that at Judges Week.
And that's a much more kind of realistic looking game.
Yeah, it's more realistic. But so it's first person. You play this girl who you don't know why, but she's going to this house in sort of, it's like an, I think it's on like an island off of Portland. So it sort of evokes Gone Home until... If you lived on an island and not on a street.
Yeah.
But you explore this house, and each room of the house, it's just an abandoned house, and each room of the house you sort of dive into a member of the family, like their past, and all of them, they've been very open that all of it ends with the member's death. But you're this, you dive into this room of this little girl who sort of... her imagination takes her away into, and you start becoming various animals, and you like look out her window and you become a cat that she sees on a tree, and so it's first person catting. So
okay.
Like, climbing trees,
I was so I was like slowing to a roll there, and I was like, I'm kind of tired of sad first person exploratory animals. I'm on board. Let me be a cat.
But you go from cat to bird, and you're like a bird flying through and like getting down, and at the end I think you became a giant squid wrecking a ship.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was very strange. And there was like a natural transition.
How long are you talking about as each of these things, though? Like, are you playing like a
5 minutes? I mean, the entire demo, I think, was a half hour, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I played as a bunch of different animals. The writing was really good. It was really cool.
Man.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know what? One game, Rhyme?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That game looks gorgeous.
Yeah, that's another one of those games that was revealed, I think, like 2 Gamescoms ago.
It was that Gamescom that was just like overwhelming.
2013.
Yeah.
And that's Tequila Works, who did Deadlight, which was not a good game at all.
No, it was this game looks so incredible, though.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Deadlight, I think, showed a lot of promise in some areas, but it felt like it was just kind of like had to be pushed out the door or whatever.
That
looks really, really pretty. Kind of the same. I want some colorful stuff, you know? I'm kind of just, I want like colorful, kind of serene games.
Yeah.
I keep watching Jose play Splatoon, and it's like, aside from anything else, I'm just like, look at all those colors. Like, so many colors.
Remember colors?
Yeah.
So that's good stuff.
Yeah. But I'm hoping also, like, it would be awesome if we get to E3 and there's something we didn't know about that we're like, oh, man, nope,
that's
on the list
totally
now.
Totally going to be
something. Which is going to be the best.
I mean, oh, yeah, there's Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Probably. Most likely. I don't know. When is that coming out?
Yeah.
Crossing Souls. Crossing Souls was kickstarted.
Like a TV show from like the 70s.
It's basically if you had the Goonies, but they were able to go into the dark world from Zelda, but everything looks super 80s and neon.
Whoa.
How do I not know about this? All right, well,
yep.
That's on my list, too.
There's a bear. I think you fight a bear
totally
with a rake or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like bears and rakes.
I feel like there could be like a Max Scoville describes games he's excited for generator where it's like, there's a bear. Everything's neon. You got a bunch of noises. You can do sick jumps. What's this game about? I don't know. A bunch of guys. So PlayStation Plus has once another lineup because that's how that works.
Yeah.
What do we got?
The big ones are... Ground Zeroes for PS4.
Yeah, get that. If you have never played a Metal Gear game in your life, this is totally not the place to start in terms of story, but luckily there's not much in the way of story and it doesn't make sense anyway.
Yeah.
It is, however, a really good primer for what the mechanics are going to be like in the Phantom Pain.
Yeah, totally.
So get it. It's free. It's really fun. It's a fun game to goof around with your friends.
Yeah,
I
remember those?
I spent the summer of 2001 playing through the Metal Gear Solid 2 tanker demo disc repeatedly and just not really playing it on purpose, kind of being like, what happens if we throw a magazine clip at this man's head? let's screw up that ice bucket some more. This is like...
That you literally watch the ice melt.
Let's play Sleep Jeep. Let's put a bunch of guys who are unconscious in a Jeep and then drive it off a cliff. You can do that in that game. Yep. Call Sleepy of War as Gunslinger. I hear lots of really good stuff about this in spite of everything.
So this was a PS3 game. Again, I think it was a Polish developer. It was a Ubisoft published
game.
It was Techland. Yeah.
Really not like... Yeah.
It was like as far away from Poland as you can imagine. But the whole thing is like there's all these people in a saloon and they start telling – this guy starts telling his story and the narration kicks in to where he starts saying something where he's like, I came out guns a-blazing and you're like, fight, you're killing all these guys and his story. And someone else cuts in and is like, no, you were out of ammo and cowering behind a wall. And then the game changes and all of a sudden you're like behind a wall and you have no guns. And it's kind of like what the Tiny Tina DLC did that for Borderlands 2. Yeah.
It's like, I guess to some degree, like Rashomon in real time.
Yeah. I remember one of the characters, I guess I'll spoil, I think one of the characters in the bar was like FDR.
Okay, that's all right.
Wait,
weird.
That doesn't make sense.
Nope. All right, that's a nice try.
One of the characters in the bar was a president.
Okay.
It was like before he became a president, Eddie's like, my name is...
So anyway, anybody who, you know, wants to play this sleeper hit, Marty just spoiled it for you, but it's luckily you don't pay any money for it, so there you go.
And luckily my spoiler didn't make any sense because it might have been a century off.
I've heard this is kind of like the If Far Cry 3 was really bad and Blood Dragon was still good, it's kind of like that, but for some of the Call of War games.
One that Gallegos reviewed before he left versus this one, like, sounds like it's night and day. This one came out, like, it was a Ubisoft digital event, like, way after. Mm-hmm. And I remember everyone being like, oh, Call of War. And then everyone was actually pretty impressed with it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Call of War before that, the one...
The Cartel or whatever?
That was like the low point, yeah.
Everyone's like, why? You have a game about Westerns and you make it about...
You said whereas and I thought you mispronounced Juarez.
Call of Whereas.
Call of Whereas. And Skulls of Shogun.
Yeah, what's... Yep. I never played that. What is that?
That's a 17-bit, who are also doing Galaxy. It's sort of a... It's like Final Fantasy Tactics-ish. It's like a turn-based tactics game, but it's this really cool art style and actually real funny writing about like the lords of the underworld in like feudal Japan going after each other. Really good. I played it. It's awesome on iPad, and so I'm wondering how it translates to controller.
Nice.
But it's free, so download it.
Of course, we've also got...
a bunch of hot discounts.
Real games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a discount pro... Oh.
Yeah, so this is...
What?
This is your new segment of Max Reed's
says here. There's a thing. What? All right.
Sony's went in. There's sort of a huge PlayStation Plus sale going on newer AAA games through June 1st. Some of the big ones are Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin for PS4, which is $12 off. It's $47.99.
Bloodborne already being $12 off is a pretty good deal.
It is awesome, yeah. Bloodborne's $12 off. The Order's $12 off. Hyper Neptunia, if you want to go smooch on a robot
think
girl.
Think about how crazy it is that The Order came out like months and months and months earlier and it's the same price as Bloodborne, which is like basically still pretty new.
No, The Order came out like 3 weeks earlier. Like
then
4 weeks earlier.
Bloodborne?
Mm-hmm. It was February and March.
No, that can't be true.
One of us worked in the games industry, and one of us didn't.
Do we have any...
Wow, that gap feels so much bigger.
Yeah. Wait, do we have no new games this week?
I didn't print out the lineup because it was kind of dumb. Is that bad?
Yeah, well,
really that short?
We never know what any of them are. I just make fun of the titles.
No, the big one is Roundabout.
Oh, yeah, Roundabout.
So Roundabout's coming to PS4. Roundabout's this game where you play...
I just thought about it and laughed.
It's like
that's a good sign.
Crazy Taxi, but it's top-down, and you play a limo that just keeps spinning. And you have to get to your destination, but you just keep spinning. And so you're like, oh, man, I'm spinning, but I got to get through this thing.
There's live-action cutscenes.
But there's live-action cutscenes, and they're, like, impossibly cheesy but really good.
That sounds kind of incredible.
Like, impossibly cheesy in a good way.
Yeah, no, I played a minute of this at I think, the Indie Mixer that was here a million years ago. And I was like, huh, it's a weird, crazy car game about people.
Yeah, that seems like a good post-Bottomless Mimosa game.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Or during Bottomless Mimosas game.
It would be rude to bring your PlayStation to a car. I guess you could do Bottomless Mimosas at home. We went to a place this weekend that had, quote, endless mimosas. That was how they pictured
it. Which I just pictured as like a river, basically.
Yeah.
I once found the bottom of Bottomless Mimosas.
Oh.
Oh, God.
It was a weird day.
I just looked up these release dates. My brain is so broken. I cannot believe those are that close together. That felt like months to me. I think it's because I saw the order when I still... was here, and so it felt like it was such a long... Because that was at Gamescom 2013, No one cares about this story. Anyway, continue.
No, this is the greatest story ever told. Move over, Bible. There's a new tale in town.
Do you want to just take a minute and go into the story further? Like, yeah. Just kind of.
My nose is just bleeding.
Yeah, what happened in Germany? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I walked across the bridge. We were in the Hilton. They have a really good breakfast.
Did you?
Oh, no, I'm sorry, we're in the Marriott.
Did you buy a
the Hilton has the ice bar.
What? Yeah. Wait,
did you buy a lock that you? Oh yeah, there's the ice bar. There's a in bar the made of ice. And
what?
So you can like put your.
Sorry,
like,
what sentence did I miss that I don't? What? What?
In the Hilton in Cologne, Germany, they have a bar that the bar top is made of ice, and so you can put your beer in there and it stays cold, or you can put your whiskey and it's chilled,
or you can just get frostbite if you want.
You can just get frostbite.
That's nuts.
You can lick it and become fused with the bar.
Yeah.
Cool. Essential 50.
Did you guys miss me? Yes, I have. So my pick, Persona 4 Golden.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of, so it was my introduction to Persona. I had never played a Persona game before this. Totally fell head over heels in love with it. I think, you get to know those characters so well, and I think like they feel very real, even though the world itself is obviously pretty goofy and there's weird stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
But the localization is incredible. The voice acting is incredible.
Yep.
And so they feel like everyone has their own unique identity and everyone feels distinct from one another, which like, you know, it can actually be kind of rare in a JRPG. I think there's a certain point where if you play like something set in like a fantasy setting, characters kind of all feel samey.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, is, by being contemporary, like it you know, you get introduced to these characters and kind of care about them in a way I don't think you would otherwise.
Yeah, and the fact that it takes place in like a modern day high school, like despite any of the fantastical elements, like so many of the characters in the game, I was like, oh, that reminds me of him or that reminds me of her.
Exactly.
And it's like this weird like, oh, you sort of nailed what that kind of person is like, which games don't generally do well.
It balances. There are a lot of games that are like dating sims. And first of all, I agree with that. But mm-hmm. second of all, there are so many games that are like dating sims and like that part of it works really well, but like the combat isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like the dungeon crawl is great, but like the dating stuff is really light or whatever. This thing like combines everything perfectly. It's like very balanced. It's very happy. It's very bright. Like I got the platinum in that game. I did a bunch of playthroughs. I'm probably going to go back soon. Like I really love Persona.
No, I have a stupid question. Persona 4 Golden, that's the Vita version?
Yes.
Yes.
Was that, and it was Persona 4 was originally on PS2?
PS2.
Oh, okay. PS2. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. God, yeah.
Yeah. So it was like very late in the generation, essentially. Mm-hmm. It was like, I think after, yeah, it was after the new gen already started, but it came to PS2. And that's the interesting thing is like this got me to go back into the rest of the series. Like I love Persona 3. I actually in some ways like it better because it's darker, but like, man, Persona is just like such an incredible franchise.
Yeah.
Could not be more excited for Persona 5.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like Golden is such an incredible, like easy entry point.
And it's such it's such a perfect fit for portable. Like,
yes,
honestly, like this is like, I think we've talked about this before where like, one of the things that scares me about, RPGs on consoles are that like I'm terrified to spend 100 hours in front of my TV.
Yeah.
Whereas like I travel a lot, like I take public transportation a lot. Like I wouldn't mind going through a game on Vita that's that long.
No,
especially
not,
like if you can multitask, if you have a movie on in the background.
That's actually a big kind of concern of like I'm curious about 5 because it looks like kind of the most sort of fleshed out, most kind of modern one, obviously,
because
that's
far.
How numbers work. but. It's going to be just PS4 though, or is it?
PS3
it's
not, and
it's PS3
PS4.
And 4.
But it's not coming. It's not coming to Vita.
It could eventually, right? Like,
okay.
Obviously, they haven't said anything, but it's like, man, I would love Persona 3 on Vita even, because the problem is like you walk around, you look for save points.
It's downloadable on Vita.
Yeah, for
it's the PSP.
PSP game.
Okay.
So it's a PSP version where you can play as a girl, which is cool. But it's actually like you play as like a dot. Like it's not like a fully realized Persona game. It's like a significantly scaled down version, like without like cutscenes. It's like missing a lot
of
the elements.
You can just download Persona 3
on PS3.
No, on Vita. You can download the PS2 version. I have the PS.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've seen.
I have the PS2 version of Persona 3 on my Vita.
I don't think that's true.
That is 100%.
In any case,
I guarantee you.
If that's true, I'm very excited.
All right, somebody's gonna write in and tell us about this.
Yeah,
I know very little about Persona. I got Persona 4 Golden as. So I had to go, when I went to play Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, I went to Japan, which was made me miss Valentine's Day.
Aww.
And kind of I was gone for like 10 days and I was like, hey, my fiance was kind of like, she was cool about it. She's like, you're going to Japan for work to play your favorite video game. You're still missing Valentine's Day. And I'm like, but I got you this game that I know you're going to like. And she's always been into like, she's an anime. She's a total weeaboo. So she's like, I'm like, you're going to probably like this game. She likes Vita games.
Yeah.
You know, she likes to play handheld stuff. And I'm like, you're going to like this. And I just had a hunch, you know, and she wound up basically shutting me off to play it. Like, she was straight up ignoring me. Like, we had fights because she was glued to it, you know? She just wasn't speaking to me. And I'm like, you know what? It's whatever. That's cool. I'm glad she had fun.
Yeah.
But now you have, like, a grudge against this game forever.
Yeah. No, I'm cool with it. I actually, like, I like that one because she finished it and she was like, oh, like, I got a date with this one lady. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. And what I didn't like is when she played Spelunky on her Vita nonstop, because she'd be like, I'm just going to be, and I'm like, it never ends. You have beat it before, but it will never die. Yep. That game cannot be killed.
Yeah.
But yeah, Persona is, like, it's, like, I have been told from numerous people about why it's
incredible. Yeah, and it's awesome. Funny you say that, because, like, I remember when I beat it, at the time I was like, I would pay forever to just have DLC that's like, even if it wasn't story stuff, it's just like nonsense, like, oh, you can run around the town and mm-hmm. here's like two more people to have random social links with. Like, that world is just so inviting and, mm-hmm. and awesome that, like, yeah, it just, I don't know, there's something very special about that game, and it's hard, it kind of clicks at a different point for everybody. Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, very Japanese. It's very much like, if you, like Mitch loved it, but he hated all the dungeon crawling and hated all the combat because that's just not what he's into. But he got into the characters and mm-hmm. things like that. So I think it's different for everybody. But yeah, like, when it does click with you, it clicks in a way that very few games can.
Yeah,
like, that's in my probably top 10 games of all time.
The JRPGs. I mean, I grew up playing, like, you know, Final Fantasy and stuff. I always like played bits and pieces at friends' house. But I really respect them as a concept, and I know that there's totally like a wonderful, they're a great genre. It's kind of weird to say, like, oh, it's all this one major genre that comes out of this country is this type of thing, but you know what I mean, you know, turn-based, sure. You know, JRPG.
Right.
Persona 4 seems like kind of in the same way that like Rayman Origins is like the logical futuristic progression of something like Super Mario World. Mm-hmm. Like, this seems like the future of like an early Final Fantasy game, you know?
Yeah,
and like,
honestly,
Final Fantasy's
definitely
gone
even
to,
more
like,
so
real-time
than current Final Fantasy games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah, you can, I guess you can trace that origin a lot more easily looking at this than you can looking at, like, 15.
Yeah.
Totally. But also, like, I mean, it's got like, you know, it's got cutscenes, animated cutscenes and stuff. And I think that's so much more of a logical transition of old sprite-based stuff than, like, super hyper-realistic, you know,
tessellated
hair is.
And honestly, this
is,
like, everything they've been doing with, like, showing off 5 so far. It's almost like Star Wars, where, like, each of the looks have been so perfect, and it just, like, it seems like the characters are, like, the age of, like, the characters in Catherine. It seems like they keep going to a bar like they do in Catherine.
You get a cat now?
You get a cat man.
Which is the first part of Catherine.
Yeah.
Catherine.
It's actually a cat woman.
It's like, God, it's so awful. Yeah, I'm super excited. And those trailers always look like the editing is like Cowboy Bebop. Oh, yeah.
It looks gorgeous. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, but it looks gorgeous.
Definitely.
So,
Catman.
So excited.
Good stuff. Yeah, accepted. Mm-hmm. Persona 4 Golden.
Yay!
Now we never have to have another Persona game in the Essential 50 ever.
Persona,
again. The end.
Persona 4 Golden accepted, unlike Andrew Goldfarb.
Persona 4 Goldfarb. All right. So that is our show for you, fine listeners and viewers at home or on iPods or whatever you do this
iPods.
Thing. iPods.
Yeah.
Anyway,
should we talk about June 27th? Which
yes,
we have
June 27th is a special day. It's the day your grandmother and grandfather first sat down to talk about making your parents.
Speaking of Max disappointing his loved ones.
No, please don't.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay. Not interrupting anyone special's birthday party or anything. On June 27th, we will be having Beyond 400.
Yeah, and Unlocked 200, the live extravaganza.
And to celebrate this meeting of a great Xbox and a great PlayStation podcast, we will be playing Mario Kart 8. No, I think we should as a
that'd
joke.
Be,
I think it'd
be really
funny.
That'd be great.
We will be blowing up a Wii U.
Welcome to our
and overcoming our differences.
We will have
and
the cast of Beyond versus the cast of Unlocked in Smash Brothers, 8 players, and I will be very confused.
We will be giving away one Sega Dreamcast.
But yes, it's on June 27th. It is going to be here in San Francisco. They are. It's the same event, but they are separate shows. Don't look. Yep. A lot of people have been like, "Why are you doing that?"
We'll have cage fights.
Was I doing my own?
What was that voice? Yeah,
I was doing Max's impression of me.
Oh no, guys! Oh.
What have I ever like said?
Oh, I ate mimosas. Oh no!
Well, actually, that one is pretty accurate.
Oh, I'm allergic to dogs.
So I'm hitting too close to home now, Max. It's gonna be June 27th here in the city. Tickets are gonna be going up extremely soon, and by extremely, I mean 99% sure before the next episode.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
Cool.
So we'll be, yeah, follow us on Twitter, Unlocked, or Beyond Facebook group. We'll be, yeah. We'll keep you guys in the loop on that, and it's going to be awesome. All of us
will be
there.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, thank you guys all so much for listening. Mm-hmm. I hope we get to see you soon.
Yeah.
If you come to this thing we just told you about.
Ooh.
If you didn't hear what we said, you should rewind.
You can see Max do his mean impression of Marty live.
Yeah.
Until Marty cries.
We're gonna put you in a cage and have people come up and do impressions of you next to the cage, and you'll just be like,
this is terrible. This is
a mean thing to do with someone.
It sounds kind of like Jimmy Stewart, like a rough Jimmy Stewart.
So do you.
But a little bit of like,
you sound like Jimmy Stewart.
Allergies. Jimmy Stewart. Oh, Clarence. I'm allergic to dogs.
All right. Anyway, you can follow us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Marty is McBiggity. Goldfarb, you're Garfep.
G-A-R-F-E-P. That's the one.
Which sounds like a weird elf man or something, something or other.
That's what it is. It's a weird elf man.
Popular. I had sex with Garfep in Witcher 3. Yeah.
I bought a tunic for Garfep. And you, of course, can send us emails that we will sometimes read. Mm-hmm. It's just beyond@ign.com.
Yeah.
Send those to us. And we do trawl through there for stuff to talk about on this fine show. Mm-hmm. Thank you all for listening. We love you. Good night. Beyond.
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 Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over 1 million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.